So welcome to lecture number 8, theory. Today we want to talk about three Majorana systems. And so let me summarize where this fits in the context of previous lectures. Previously, what we've seen over this week is that if we want to study a system of n spins, then we have to build a Hamiltonian, or we can build a Hamiltonian. In any case, the Hamiltonian is a matrix which is 2 to the n times 2 to the n. Then we can extract the ground state, compute the ground state. It's going to be a vector, which is 2 to the n complex components. Then from it, from this wave function, this ground state, in order to explore its structure, we've started looking at entanglement. And what that meant was that we computed the reduced density matrix for a region, subregion, of the system, of subregion A. And if this region had L spins, then this was a 2 to the L times 2 to the L matrix. We then diagonalized this matrix. We got 2 to the L different eigenvalues, which were a probability distribution. And finally, we could compute the entropy from it. Okay? So the observation is that doing all that had a cost. And so the cost was exponential in the system size, or exponential when in this last part on the region A, on the size of region A. Today, we want to talk about the free particle formalism, which will allow us to do similar things for specific systems. So we will lose generality, but we will be able to accomplish the same task with a much, much lower cost. Okay? And that will be the key to being able to explore, for specific Hamiltonians, systems that are much, much larger. So instead of a Hamiltonian, or that Hamiltonian will be described in terms today, in terms of a matrix. And this matrix will be 2n times 2n. Okay? So the size is quadratic only in n, not exponential. Then we will diagonalize this matrix, and we will obtain a representation, or another matrix, a correlation matrix, which will also be 2n times 2n, so again, very small, which will contain all the information about the ground state of this Hamiltonian. Okay. So the Hilbert space is still exponentially large, but we will have a reduced description that will be complete. So we'll have a small matrix, correlation matrix. Then the equivalent to computing the reduced density matrix for region A will correspond to extracting some submatrix from here. And that will be some new correlation matrix, which will only be 2L times 2L. Okay? So not exponential, again, just quadratic. And we will be able to diagonalize this matrix and extract eigenvalues, which will from which we will be able to reproduce if we want these 2 to the L probabilities. But it will only take L eigenvalues to do that. And finally, we'll be able to compute the entropy of that region by adding L different contributions. And so the cost here is going to be order n cubed, where n is the system size, or cost L cubed, where L is the size of the region A. Okay? So it's kind of magic. We'll be able to do everything we've been doing, struggling with this exponentially large dimension. We'll be able to do it with a cost that is only a small polynomial of the system size. OK, are there questions? Very good. So let's get started. What I need to do here. Is start very, very slow. I'm going to consider the case n equal to 1 to begin. So we're back to 1 qubit, 1 spin. And I need to introduce three different ways of describing operators of 1 qubit, or 1 spin, 1 half. The first one refers to polymatrices. Okay, you are all familiar with those. Sigma x, sigma y, sigma z. They close an algebra. The commutator describes this, is described by this. And we can represent them as matrices. We can choose, for instance, sigma x to be this matrix. sigma y to be this matrix, and sigma z to be this matrix. Okay? And then if we want to describe some Hamiltonian, and this Hamiltonian will, besides that there is a ground state that we call zero, an excited state that we call one, where, well, okay, with energies minus epsilon or minus E over 2 and E over 2. So in this case, we can represent the Hamiltonian just in this way. Okay, it just minus E over 2 as sigma z. It's a one spin problem. And then what we can do is we can talk also about, in this case, of a density matrix. And this density matrix that we want to consider now will be a mixture of the zero state and the one state. And in this case, we see that the expectation value of sigma x and sigma y are zero. And the expectation value of sigma z is 2p minus 1, where p was this probability. And then if we diagonalize this matrix, we'll get some eigenvalues, p and 1 minus p. And we can express this p in terms of the expectation value of sigma z. And finally, we can compute the entropy through that expression. And there is nothing magic about that. I'm just telling you obvious thing. Yes?
Why is the density matrix diagonal in that basis?
No, I choose that density matrix.
Ah, okay.
And then and if I have this density matrix, it has this property.
And the expectation value of sigma squared is positive. Are you assuming that p is always bigger than 1 half?
This is sigma z. I don't know what sigma squared would be. Okay. Very good. So now I want to just do the same, but using another algebra of operators. I want to talk about fermionic annihilation and creation operators. So I'm introducing A and A dagger. And they fulfill this anti-commutator. So A dagger, the anti-commutator is equal to 1. A, and A dagger equal to 0. So that's what it means. And then we can just represent them as matrices. A can be represented in this way. A dagger will be the adjoint of this one. A dagger A looks like that, and A dagger like that. And then we can simply write the same Hamiltonian as before. Okay. We could also write it in terms of this annihilation and creation fermionic operator. Okay? And then we would have that expectation value for the same density matrix as before. We would have these properties that the expectation value of A or A dagger is 0, but A dagger A would give you 1 minus P and A dagger equal to P. And then we could write P in terms of A dagger. Right, and we could write the expression. So I'm just telling you this is a 2 times 2. This is a two-level system, and there are different operators that you can use to describe it. And the last one that I want to consider is this pair of Majorana operators. And so now what we have is two operators that fulfill the following. They are Hermitian, and they fulfill that they anti-commute. Okay. And so let me write a matrix representation for them. So we can realize them as matrices in this way. Okay. And then, for instance, we have that minus I, psi 1, psi 2, minus psi 2, psi 1, is equal 1, 0, 0, minus 1. And Therefore, we could write the same Hamiltonian as before. We could write it as I over 2 epsilon, and then this thing, psi 1, psi 2, minus psi 2, psi 1. And if we had the same, so this just follows from, well, you could check that if you define psi 1 and psi 2 to be this, then automatically they anti-commute and they are Hermitian. And then if you multiply them in this way, you will get matrix. And so we can express the Hamiltonian, the same Hamiltonian as before, in terms of this psi 1 and psi 2 in this way. And we had the density matrix there. And now we could express this density matrix, or the properties that this density matrix would have are that the expectation value of these two guys is 0. But the expectation value of this commutator would be equal to 2p minus 1. And I'm going to call this new. OK, so I'm just rewriting things in 3 different ways. OK, there is no magic at all. But this third way is going to be the starting point for accomplishing what I described before. Okay? So I can introduce this new equal to 2p minus 1. I can also then introduce a correlation matrix. It's just a definition. I define it as, oh, that convenient. N minus I commutator of psi I psi j mn. Okay, and then you can see that this is a 2 times 2 matrix that looks like this. Okay. So I call this a correlation matrix because it refers to 2-point insertions, or the expectation value of 2-point insertions. And if you were the details, the diagonal have to be zeros because this is a commutator. Right, so when you have mm, this is the commutator of psi m with psi m, this has to be 0. And off diagonal, we get precisely this type of term. Okay. And then we could write this entropy. We could write it in terms of these guys, in terms of nu. In this way. So I insist I haven't done anything but just introduce three different sets of operators and express the same Hamiltonian, the same density matrix in terms of these three, or the expectation value, also their expectation values, and finally the entropy. I've expressed it in terms of this new, which is nothing but 2p minus 1. So it's everything is equivalent. Okay, but this will be this notation, these operators will be the starting point today. Are there questions? Oh, and let me mention, just to make it very, very explicit, that obviously this different formulations are closely related. And so let me just write some relations. So for instance, A, the annihilation operator, fermionic operator, is sigma x plus I sigma z, sigma y divided by 2. But it can also be written as psi 1 plus I psi 2 divided by square root of 2. And so and obviously psi 1, you can think of psi 1 as sigma x up to some factor, and psi 2 as sigma y up to some factor. And another way to think of psi 1 and psi 2, these Majorana operators, are that they are the real and imaginary part of the annihilation of the usual fermionic operator. So So usually if they give you a complex number and you want the real part of the complex number, you take the complex number and its complex conjugate and you get the real part. So you can think that this is what you are doing here with A, with the operator A. And then if you want the imaginary part, you take complex number minus its adjoint. And so that's basically what we're doing here. So we could call this real part and imaginary part. Of A. So you could think that in some sense these Majorana operators are just a rewrite of the fermionic operators where you break the fermionic annihilation operator into real and imaginary part. Okay, so of course we didn't want to talk about the case of one qubit or one fermionic mode or one pair of Majorana modes. But what we want to talk about today is the case of n Majorana modes, 8, 2, n Majorana modes, meaning 2n, right? Or n pairs of Majorana modes. And so we'll have, let's start with the algebra. What we have now is I'm going to be using psi to denote these operators. And I will be an index where I is a double index, n and alpha, where n is going to run from 1 to capital N, and alpha is going to take two values. And so the picture we want to have here is that we have a number of sites or number of pairs of Majorana modes. So here we have that n is equal to 1, 2, 3, n, capital N. So small n is labeling the pairs. And within each pair, we have an index alpha that takes values 1 or 2, 1 or 2, 1 or 2, 1 or 2. OK? So say this guy here is it represents an operator. For 3, 1. So that's the labeling. We have 2n such operators, and they close the following algebra. They are Hermitian. And they anti-commute. So we have that their square, usually fermionic operators, you square them, you get 0. But Majorana operators, you square them, and you get the identity, divided by 2. And it just follows from here. And then that would be if I is equal to j. And if I is different from j, then we have j is equal to minus psi j. Psi I different from j. Okay, that's what this relation says. And so we could again try to find a matrix representation for these guys. And so if we do that, we'll find that these are 2 to the n times 2 to the n matrices. Okay. So for n equal to 1, we already saw that we had 2 times 2 matrices. And I'm saying if we have, instead of just one pair, if we have n pairs, then we could realize this algebra. The simplest way to realize it is the smallest dimension will be 2n times 2n. Okay? So you can think of these guys as being operators on n spin 1/2 degrees of freedom, or n qubits, as before. Okay? these are operators may that are represented as big matrices. But the trick is that we will be able to manipulate them thanks to their anti-commutation relations. We'll be able to manipulate, write Hamiltonians, diagonalize Hamiltonians, get the ground state, extract entropies, and so on, without ever having to build this big matrix. Very good. So what do I want? Where do I start? Are there questions? So 8.3, let's see that with first the Hamiltonian. So let's consider a Hamiltonian that is of a specific form. Let me write it like this. So I'm going to consider a Hamiltonian which is quadratic in this operator. And so this is some matrix. This is going to be a 2n times 2n matrices, right? These guys, there are 2n of them, and we are adding. So we have a matrix of coefficients that is a 2n times 2n matrix. So that's interesting because the operator that we are building is a huge matrix, but we can represent it just by specifying this small matrix. Okay, so so if H is a Hamiltonian, so it's Hermitian, what that implies here is that Cij, this matrix, can be chosen to be real. And that Cij is skew symmetric. Okay? Anti-symmetric or skew symmetric. This just follows from the anti-commutator. Well, if you use the algebra and the commutators, if you try to enforce this property, you'll see that you can choose Cij in this way. And that is, for instance, in the example n equal to 1 that we've seen already, that would mean that C is a matrix of this form. Okay? That's something we've seen before already. Well, if you build that Hamiltonian there. Good. So let me just introduce, this is just an alternative notation to make things, to be able to write things faster. So I'm just putting, I'm introducing a vector of operators, and the meaning is obvious. I just put all the components here. Okay, the 2n components. I just write them as a vector. Okay. And so that's a matrix. That's a vector, matrix, vector multiplication. But the point is that this is a small matrix. These are a small vector. OK, so now we need to use a theorem. There's a theorem. Yep.
Didn't you derive more equations from something that has less? Like h dagger being equal to h doesn't seem to give you that many equations. Is there some symmetry of the system that you're exploiting to say that C must be real?
No.
I mean, the equations you have there on the right, C being real.
No, but H is Hermitian.
Yes.
These guys are already Hermitian, and you know, this follows from there. So let's.
So if you swap them, if you apply the dagger to H, then the two on the right are going to swap, and you swap them back using the anti-commutation relations.
Okay. and there is an I?
Yeah. So you're gonna get the same thing again, which means for I and J different, they're real.
Okay.
It seems like you're getting twice as many equations on the right as you have on the left.
Okay. If you have a problem, if there is a problem later on, tell me and we can go through it. Very good. So there is a theorem that is going to be very useful that says let C be a 2n times 2n. Matrix with C real and C is Q symmetric. Okay, so exactly what we have. Then there exists some O in a matrix O that is orthogonal to n times 2n metric row belonging to the orthogonal group, orthogonal, and that means that O transpose O is equal to O transpose equal to identity in 2n. Okay? So if we have a matrix like the one we have to represent the Hamiltonian, then there is some orthogonal matrix O such that C, the original matrix, can be written as the product of O, C tilde, O transpose, where this C tilde has a very interesting and useful structure, which is that it is close to the diagonal matrix as these guys can get. It's block diagonal in this way. Okay, the rest are zeros everywhere. So we have, you can think of this as some form of diagonalizing the eigenvalue decomposition. Some sort, but in blocks. Okay. So given C, we can use O, this orthogonal matrix, to bring C into some block diagonal form. And I'm just going to write this for later in this more compact form. Where all this, I'm going to call them epsilons. All these epsilons can be chosen always to be non-negative. So that's what we do. Okay? And we just order them in ascending order, increasing order. OK, so that's very convenient, because now we can use it to diagonalize or bring H into a diagonal form by just manipulating the matrix C. So let's see. I'm going to try to do it here. So H was equal to I2. Psi transpose C psi. And this is equal to I over 2. And now I'm going to introduce this form. So C is equal to O C tilde O transpose. Okay? And then I'm going to define these guys. This to be a new set of Majorana modes. So I'm going to introduce a new set of Majorana modes. Phi 1, 1, phi 1, 2, phi n, 2, okay? Where the new modes are related to the original modes, just through this orthogonal transformation. Or the old ones can be written in terms of the new ones, again, like that. Okay. So we're making a change of basis. We're defining linear combinations of the original Majorana modes. We're defining new Majorana modes. I'm calling them Majorana modes for a reason, but we're taking linear combinations of the Majorana modes. Okay? And then you can check, again, that's algebra, that this new set fulfills anti-commutation relations exactly as the original set, and that they are Hermitian, and that's why I was calling them Majorana modes. Okay. So we are working at the level of the algebra of Majorana modes. We never build big matrices. We just manipulate this 2n Majorana modes. And if we do that, then the Hamiltonian can be, I'm just going to write the same Hamiltonian that we just had up there, but, oh, I didn't complete that, okay. Just explicitly, this is then I over 2. This, and I'm just going to expand that expression. So we have, if you look at it carefully, you have that then we have a sum over only n terms of energy ak or epsilon k, and then pi k1, pi k2, minus pi k2, pi k1. Okay. That's just exploiting the fact that C tilde is block diagonal. And this is nothing. And now I'm going to just introduce. So we could keep working with these pi's. The observation here is that now this is a sum over a set n different pairs of, so n terms where each term only involves a given pair of fermionic of Majorana operators. And so this is actually a problem of n different decoupled fermionic Majorana operators. So it's n times the problem that we discussed before. Okay, but let's write it explicitly so that this is very clear. So I'm going to rewrite this as same energies and then some in terms of fermionic operators, creation and annihilation, or, and I'll have to define these guys, or even in terms of spin operators. Okay. So what we have now is that this problem has been reduced to just having n independent spins, each one under some magnetic field. So these are n decoupled problems. Okay? And each of them is just one qubit, one spin, or one fermionic mode problem. So we know how to solve them. Here we would have to define these fermionic modes as phi k 1 plus I phi k 2 divided by square root of 2. Or here we could just define sigma kz as being minus I phi k1 phi k2 minus phi k2 phi k1. Okay, so I'm just, let's see, I'm not doing anything by rewriting things in this way. I'm just bringing it into a form that is more familiar to you so you feel more comfortable with what comes next. But I could just say whatever I'm going to say next in terms of these guys. The point is that these operators fulfill, satisfy the same algebras. Okay? these different sets of operators. So I'm just applying the first table that we had up there. Instead of just for one Majorana, pair of Majorana operators, or just one Permianic mode, or just one set of polymatrices, I'm doing that for n times, that's all. So what we have is a Hamiltonian for n independent spins. And so we are ready to talk about the ground state. And I lost the number of that's going to be 4.3. Okay, so 8.4. Talk about the ground state. So the ground state, in terms of these more familiar polymatrices, is going to be some state psi that fulfills it just n different spins, and each spin wants to be pointing in the direction of sigma z. So this, you could think of this as the product of n spins, each one pointing, such that the zero position k fulfills this. Okay? Because in that case, the energy is going to be, for that, it's going to contribute minus epsilon k to the energy. And the total energy of this ground state is the sum of these quantities for all k. Very good. So if this is the ground state, then there are a number of properties that follow quite simply. For instance, the expectation value of kx, or the expectation value of ky, sigma x, sigma y, are all zero. And once you have this state, you can compute any expectation value you want for the polymatrices. And so what we're going to do is we're going to translate that into, or we're going to encode that back into properties of expectation values for the Majorana operators. And so I'm going to introduce a correlation matrix gamma tilde ij, and that is by definition, I define it to be expectation value of the commutator of pi I pi j. Okay. And so follows from this property we just in here that psi, that this gamma tilde is very simple matrix. Block diagonal, and the diagonal blocks are all the same. Okay. That just follows from, it's n times the problem of a single mode, I hope this is clear. If it is not, is it clear, or do you want me to explain how you get that? So remember what this is, it's expectation value. So let's suppose we have just one mode. So let's look at phi 1, 1, phi. So this, if we just have the first mode, let's look at this block here, right? So this is a commutator, so the diagonal has to be zero. Okay. And so let me write it explicitly. What we have is psi phi, so phi a commutator which is zero. This also is zero. And here what we have is minus I. And here what we have, what goes here, is psi phi 1 phi 2 minus phi 2 phi 1. And if we put there the minus I, let me put it here. Then this thing had to do with sigma z somewhere there.
It's on the right side with an error.
Yeah?
In the last step of the
equation. Thank you. Yes. So what is it? It's expectation value of sigma z. Is that what it is? Right. So this would be the expectation value of sigma z. Okay, but we've already said that this is going to be equal to 1, so we get the minus I. And so what do we do with that? Oh, sorry, without I. Okay, very good. Okay, and this thing here, so we get 1 and we get minus 1. Is that clear? Okay. Yeah. So.
And momentarily following, you have in your correlation function, you use minus I times the commutator of two phi's, which is exactly the definition of sigma z.
Yeah.
So you're taking expectation values of sigma z.
It's sigma z when I and j fulfill certain relation, right?
Yeah, sure. So.
So that was the point that this is.
Shouldn't that be diagonal instead of, like, it looks like what you have there in your correlation function that you explicitly wrote out, that you have kind of expectation values of sigma x instead of sigma z.
Where is that? No. Okay, I see. No, this is that sigma x for you?
That looks like sigma x. No.
Well, no, sigma x would be 1, 1, but this is an expectation value. So this expression here is not sigma z, unless you have that I and j refer to the same pair of modes,
yes.
And then 1 and 2.
Yes.
So when this happens, that would be this element here. And then you get the expectation value of sigma z, which is 1. Okay. And right here, you get expectation value of minus sigma z, which is minus 1. And if these two refer to different, remember there are n different pairs, if they are they refer to different pairs, then you still get the zero. So this is the correlation metric. Okay. So yeah, I need to find some balance here between getting to the end and not losing everyone. But the idea is that everything that I'm saying can be reproduced by simple calculation step by step. And if you find this, so if you want, let's go at intuitive level. What I'm saying is, here's a correlation matrix of this mode, and what this is showing is that there are no correlations between different pairs of Majorana modes. But that makes sense because this Hamiltonian here refers to independent pairs, right? So it's no surprise that the correlation matrix is consistent with that. In the ground state, there are no correlations between the different pairs of modes. Okay. So now what we want to do is we take this correlation matrix and bring it back to the original operators, Majorana operators, So remember that we introduced a change of Majorana operators. I have room here. Very good. This one. So now what I want to do is I want to define a correlation matrix without the tilde, so gamma ij is defined as all the correlation matrices, but in terms of original Majorana operators. Okay. But remember that these original Majorana operators can be expressed in terms of the other ones in a simple way. And so if this is my definition of correlation matrix for the original Majorana operators, what we have is that this correlation matrix is nothing but the tilde one transformed back through the change of variables, this orthogonal matrix, where if remember that this is the orthogonal matrix O that we use to bring the diagonal to bring the Hamiltonian or the matrix for the Hamiltonian into a diagonal form. Okay. So the idea is we have some matrix here, which is 2n times 2n. We can bring it into a diagonal form, log diagonal form. And then if we want to reverse this, so this matrix here describes the Hamiltonian. This matrix here now describes the ground state. Okay. What I'm saying is we've taken one step from the original matrix that describes the Hamiltonian. We've diagonalized it. We've obtained the ground state. In those variables, the ground state is, as a correlation matrix, this is very simple. If we go back to the original values, variables, we get some correlation matrix, which is no longer block diagonal. Okay? But all these operations are very simple. It's just about first finding the orthogonal matrix that diagonalizes this C for the Hamiltonian, and then we get some canonical form for the correlation matrix of the ground state, which we have to translate back into the original Majorana mode. OK, so what we've seen then, in the end, what we are left with is this correlation matrix. Okay, this is the correlation matrix for the ground state of the original Hamiltonian. And then the statement is that, that from here we can extract all the information we want. So this is a complete characterization of the ground state. So we have a ground state, and it's completely characterized by this correlation matrix. And this is known as this statement, that this is a complete characterization, goes under the name of Bix, or requires Bix theorem, that says that any expectation value that you want or can be written in terms of this correlation matrix. So any expectation value, okay, can be written in terms of by looking up at this correlation matrix. So for instance, if you had a correlation matrix, an expectation value involving four of these guys, four Majorana operators. Let me put it this way. This could be written in terms of, you can break it into products of pieces that look like this. Plus other combinations. This is Vick's theorem. I'm assuming you've seen this in quantum field theory, that when you're working with a Gaussian theory, free theory, it's enough to have knowledge of the two-point correlators. Okay. Very good. So let me put this together. Maybe not. I'm just going to try to get to the end. Yeah.
That statement is only true for Gaussian states. Right?
Yes, and this is a Gaussian state.
Yes, but how exactly do I see from Wick's theorem that this is only true for Gaussian states?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this question relates to what I'm saying, but we can discuss this later. So, 8.5, reduced density metrics. So, what we said is that we have the ground state. And it corresponds to, or is completely characterized by some correlation metrics. This guy is 2n vector. This is 2n times 2n metrics. And now what we want to do is the equivalent of, from here we may want to compute the reduced density metrics for a region A containing only L sides. So this will be a 2 to the L to the L metrics. And now actually, there is the correlation metrics for a subregion. If you have a correlation metrics for a whole system, for n sites, and you only care about L sites, so it's the correlation metrics, in this case, is very easy to obtain. Instead of tracing out degrees of freedom, what we need to do is just take keeping a submetric. So if this is gamma, ij, if this is gamma and this is part A, part B, A and B, if we break our system into two pieces, A and B, so imagine that we have our system. And we break it into two pieces, A and B, and we only care about part A. So it turns out that the correlation metrics for part A is nothing but some submetrics. It's nothing but this submetric, okay? This. Just stop looking at the modes that are in part B, and that's all you need. And so that means that this matrix is now gonna be 2L times 2L, and we can just extracted from the correlation metrics for the ground state for the whole system by ignoring the entries corresponding to modes that are not in part A. Very good. And by construction, it so happens that A is real and A is skew symmetric. And so we can apply again the theorem that we had before. If you want to know why this is real and skew symmetric, it is because the gamma for the ground state was like that, and you can see it, for instance, from this expression here. When this is skew symmetric and real, and when you apply orthogonal transformation, so when you map it, when you go from tilde to non-tilde, these orthogonal transformations are such that they preserve that the metrics remain real and the metric remain skew symmetric. Okay? So we can apply the theorem that we had. And so the theorem implies that there exists some orthogonal rotation on OL such that the correlation metrics can be block diagonalized. So here we have a block diagonal matrix. That's the same theorem as before. This is some form of diagonalization or block diagonalization. And this defines a new set of variables. So So we could say we have new Majorana modes that are defined in terms of the ones that we had, but restricted only, you know, the on party, right? So this part A. So this is only the Majorana modes that are attached to part A. Very good. And then this means that in this mode, in this new mode, what we have is that we have the correlation matrix for L independent modes. Okay? So it follows from there that the entropy will be the sum of the entropies from the different modes. But again, to make you feel more comfortable with this formalism, we could just introduce spin variables. Or what this means is that there is some unitary transformation that we don't need to worry about that transforms the density matrix. Oh, that's maybe too low. Can you see down here? So what I was saying is that we can introduce this eta, right? Where these etas because they are connected to the phi's size, they are also fermionic Majorana operators. And then and such that this correlation matrix, what it's telling us is that we have L pairs or L uncorrelated pairs. Of Majorana modes. So what I mean by this is that this correlation matrix really that it shows no correlation between different pairs. Okay? That's the meaning of gamma tilde A being log diagonal. And so what that means is that there exists some unitary transformation. It's a 2L times 2L. We don't need to find it, but it exists. That's that we can take the reduced density matrix on part A and rewrite it as the tensor as some rho 1 times rho 2, etc., rho L, where each of the rows refers to spin 1 half. It's 1 qubit density metric. And in particular, those can be written. So with rho k, each of these guys can be written as 1 plus nu k, 1 minus nu k divided by k. So I'm back to the table at the beginning of the class, which should be up there, where I'm saying that we can re-express single spin 1 half density matrices, which are diagonal in the Z basis. We can re-express them in terms of this nu. And so the net result then is that this is just the product k from 1 to L of this density matrix. And therefore, we can finally get to 8.6. Can talk about entanglement spectrum. So what we have is these eigenvalues, but we have to multiply them together. So we have eigenvalue 1 plus nu 1 divided by 2, 1 minus nu 1 divided by 2, 1 plus nu 2 divided by 2, 1 minus nu 2 divided by 2, and so on. And now the eigenvalues that of the density matrix. So here we will see nu 1, nu L. We have L values. But the eigenvalues of the density matrix, the P alpha, will come from taking a product of this times this times this times this, or this times that times this, and there are two L combinations that we can produce. So P alpha, P alpha is going to be P of S1, S2, SL, and that's going to be the product of from K from 1 to L of combinations of this. So So what I do here is there are 2 to the L different products I can take, where each product contains one choice. Okay, so for instance, I can choose this one, this one, this one, this one. I multiply these guys, I get some value. Okay? And there are 2 to the L ways I can combine. So I have 2 options here. I have L such choices to make. So there are 2 to the L choices. And what I'm saying is that the P alphas, the probability distribution, the eigenvalues of rho, part A, the eigenvalues, are going to be given by those products, those 2 to the L different products that I can. So it follows, and then we're done, that the entropy of rho A is nothing but the sum of entropies, the entropy is additive. So if you have a tensor product, if you have that your density matrix is a tensor product of density matrices, then the entropy is just the sum of entropies for each of the density matrices. Okay? And each of those, we've computed it at the beginning of the class, is going to be equal to this 1 plus mu k over 2 log 2. It's just the sum of L different contributions. Okay? So we are just adding L different entropies, one from each pair of Majorana modes. So that concludes what I wanted to tell you. What we've done, and hopefully you can go through the notes slowly later, what we've done is we've taken a system of n pairs of Majorana modes, and this is a system with a vector space, a Hilbert space of dimension 2 to the n. We've written some quadratic Hamiltonian on this Majorana operators. And what we've seen is that we could diagonalize this Hamiltonian, bring it into some block diagonal form, identify the ground state, okay, in terms of a correlation matrix that contains all the information through Higgs theorem. And then we could take this correlation matrix, restrict it to region A, and from there still get the density. So it's a correlation matrix now for the reduced density matrix on region A. And from this density matrix, then we could still compute the entropy just by identifying L different pairs of Majorana modes that are uncorrelated. And so that gave us both the entanglement spectrum and the full entropy of this region. Okay? And everything that we had to do was to manipulate matrices that are 2n times 2n or 2l times 2l. And this can be done. These diagonalizations that I was talking about, this can be accomplished with a cost that is always n to the third power or l to the third power. Okay? So that's the summary. And what we're going to do on Monday is we're going to take this formalism and use it to solve pre-Majorana problem with the interesting observation that actually we can take the Ising model that you've been working with, we can make a change of variables, and make it look like a free Majorana problem. So we'll learn how to solve the Ising model in a way that we can go to n equal to 100 to 100,000 sites, no problem. Okay?